The release of the draft RFP marks 6 months since the Army stood up its Energy Initiatives Task Force, an office focused on creating utility-scale renewable energy projects on Army bases. That means 10 megawatts or more. The Army wants industry to put private capital into building a mix of renewable energy projects on Army land. The target is $7 billion in capital spending. According to Catherine Hanick, the Army's Assistant Secretary for Installations, Energy, and Environment, the effort's not so much about green government, it's more about ensuring continuity of operations on Army bases in the event something happens to the public electric grid, and getting that insurance without spending a lot of money.
We know that power grids are increasingly vulnerable and expose the Army operations to risk. We are living in interesting times, because today the Army faces multiple threats to energy security. Some of our installations are facing drought conditions in the West, which can cause forest fires, or unstable weather throughout the U.S., as we've seen in recent tornadoes. According to a number of government agencies and national security experts, utility energy industries are vulnerable and rank high on the list of potential targets by terrorists. We must address these threats and work to ensure that the Army of tomorrow has the same access to resources as the Army of today.
Over the last 6 months, the Army Energy Task Force has been studying 180 Army and National Guard facilities to decide where the potential for renewable energy is the greatest. It's working with 15 bases, as of now, to actually build large-scale projects. Lushetsky is the executive director of the task force.
The thing I want to emphasize, though, that not all the sites we are looking at right now will necessarily be put out to bid, and that's a normal part of the project development process. If you talk with anybody in the private sector, they'll tell you that it's natural for some projects to drop out of an evaluation. But for the Army, for those projects that are put out to bid, I think the private sector can have confidence that the Army has qualified these as real projects, that they have real requirements, and that they're ready for engagement by developers. We believe that this approach will ultimately allow us to maximize developer interest in the Army's large-scale renewable energy projects, and that will help the Army achieve the best value.
In the new solicitation, the Army envisions a two-step acquisition process under a vehicle called a MATOC, a multiple award task order contract. First, vendors would have to qualify as credible developers for big energy projects.
This will allow us to select who we think are broadly qualified companies to bid on solar, wind, biomass, waste to energy, as well as geothermal projects. Once we've established that qualified list, then we will then be in a position, as projects are qualified by the EITF, to issue task orders. Those task orders will then be competed for by that qualified list of developers.
Once a vendor wins a task order, they'll be responsible for owning and operating the renewable energy project for up to 30 years. But the Army's promising there will be on-ramps and off-ramps to the multiple award contract, on-ramps for new vendors who didn't make the cut the first time around, and off-ramps for companies that the Army determines aren't performing as expected.
This is a similar approach that DOD, as well as DOE, Department of Energy, has done before with energy service performance contracts. It's also been used to a certain extent by the Navy. This, though, marks really the largest and most extensive example of using a MATOC for power purchase agreements.
Power purchase agreements are at the heart of the Army's new solicitation and the rationale for why it thinks it can start to build energy security without spending any upfront cash. Under the contracts, the Army will commit to buying the power the new renewable facilities produce, up to $7 billion worth over the life of the contract. But since the renewables will be hooked up to the public electric grid, the companies will also be able to sell whatever power they generate to anyone else who wants it. Hemick says that includes one important exception. If the public power grid ever does go down, the energy generated by the renewable projects belongs exclusively to the Army base that hosts it, a process known as islanding.
One of the things that assures energy security is the ability for a renewable energy system to continue to function and supply power to the base should the grid go down. So one of the key aspects about the renewable energy systems is we want them to connect to our side of the meter. So should the utility side of the meter or electric grid go down, we are still able to function. The next question is, what portion of the installation would you be able to supply power to? All of it or part of it? And that's where a microgrid comes into play. The ability of the infrastructure, existing infrastructures, to support a microgrid, or the need for additional infrastructure for a microgrid, are certainly elements that are being considered.
The Army's not saying how many task orders it expects to award or how many companies it would like to qualify for the MATOC, but Hammack says they do expect to see a lot of teaming, consortiums of companies combining expertise in various renewable energy fields.
We are seeing developers maybe focused on wind, or they're focused on solar, and developing expertise and portfolios that develop in a single technology. But we have also seen financial consortiums where they have teams of developers that could work in any of the technologies. So we're very excited to look at the responses to the MATOC to see where the interest lies.
The Army expects to release a final RFP later this spring. In the meantime, it's also preparing a renewable energy project guide to help industry plan its renewable energy projects on government land. That's due out by this summer. And in May, the Army plans to hold a large industry forum to update its renewable energy plans. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.